Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Greetings. Yes. Well, it's been a bit interesting here. I only came back a couple of hours ago, and things have changed on the site. And so, while I'm doing this show, I'm going to have to recreate the listen system on the website as we're doing it. So, it would be really good if somebody could call in and talk to me. It would be lovely. Those of you who are still on the chat page, you should be able to be there. But at the moment, I can't seem to get the chat connected with the listen link. And that is a bit strange. So hopefully you're still here and you're still hearing me. And I'll try and tell a story and do this thing at the same time. That should be fun. Tonight, I was hitchhiking along the road. Let me just adjust my mic here. Yes. I was hitchhiking back from local town, as you do. And, audio link. Uh-huh. Okay. That should be fun. Let me see. Maybe I'll play a tune. That might be a good idea. I'll play a quick tune. This is Jose Padilla and Blues for Ibiza. Beautiful little song. No, it's not. I have to start up my hard drive. Oh, what a day. What a day. Start up those hard drives. There we go. And let's see. No, we've lost that one. Okay, so here's some Kruder and Dorfmeister.
Got a passion. You've got a passion. It's called peace. You've got a passion. You've got a passion. You've got a passion. Peace.
Oh, it's this last bit. Just getting there. Nearly loaded. Oh,
here we are. We're back.
That's Kruder and Dorfmeister. I had a neighbor several years ago when I was living in a studio, and she was living in a studio, and she was a potter, and she made this most amazing pottery. I really ought to get it out of the boxes and photograph it because it's unique stuff. It wasn't glazed in the same way. It was burnished, so it had a kind of matte finish. So that's what, and it was all purple, and she made these tiny, even spirals all over the pottery. It was just like these Celtic spiral things all over it. Her name is Sissy Sterntaler, which are the, well, they Edelweiss, those little star-shaped flowers. She used to listen to this music while she was making the pottery, and I took a couple of copies of that. Kruder and Dorfmeister, and Mama Oliver, lovely, lovely, lovely music. It's really, you know, I've got a few albums of that, and I play it occasionally, but this is quite a nice one. So here we are. Welcome. Now, where was I? Oh yes. I'd like you to all send a wonderful Wolf Spirit Radio telepathic thank you and blessing to the driver, Jim, who drove the 44-ton tanker lorry and gave me a ride home up the road this evening. What a ride that was! You know, this thing's got a bed in it, and massive vehicle, and two steps up. To climb up into the thing. It was a really, really huge vehicle. I've not travelled into anything that big for ages, so that was quite an adventure on the way home. I've been measuring how many cars it takes for me to get a lift back home, and when I first started it, I made a little sign, as I live in a little village called Dunphail, Dunphail, and so it's like 6 miles out of town. And I made a little sign, and on one side it's the main town, and on the other side is Dunphail. It looks like a little number plate, car number plate, license plate, what you call them, license plate. And anyway, so the first time I did it, I had to wait for 180-something vehicles to pass by before I finally got a lift. And the last couple of times has been around 120, 110. And tonight was vehicle number 109. So my average is going down, which is good, because winter's starting to come in, and I'm not going to hesitate to flag down lorries now. That was great. Absolutely. So, greetings everybody. Tonight is it's the 2nd of September. That means we're only 3 months away from December. This famous December 2012 business. Who knows, it might just be an ordinary day. It might just be like 2 days before Christmas and everything's hustle and bustle as it normally is. People running around looking for the last minute presents. Most men are waiting until late night on the 24th of December to buy their presents, of course. And they usually come from the local garage. So be prepared, ladies. A box of Ferrero Rocher and some old flowers. Anyway, the phone has been forwarded to me. So if you do wish to call in and discuss things or come in for a reading, I don't know. Have we got anyone new? Anybody want to come in for a soul personality reading? The Seven Railway. Or just call in and give us your latest esoteric news. What's been going on the ether waves in your area, in your local area? I'd love to speak to you tonight. So, what's been happening in the last few days? Just trying to think. It's been away. What have I been doing? Nothing much. yes. Do call in, because I'm completely blank in terms of what I'd like to talk about. Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, by the way, if anybody's still listening who has connected before... did I have an epiphany? No. I don't know. What was Muggsy's epiphany? Time is now. The time is now. Dave wants to call in. All right, on you go. Go. Dave wants to. what epiphany? So yeah, there's probably a lot going on. I mean, obviously the what happened just now is that Wolf Spirit Radio has been for one day on a licensing thing, and now we're not licensed. So let's see if Dave's going to call in or not. I thought he was going to call in. Call in then. Yeah. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Brain. Brain freeze. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Go, there we go. Yes. So, we might get two phone calls now, because... I said I would have an epiphany. In 3 days. Don't know. But let's have a listen. Let's see what... There we go. I'm listening to me. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh. Brain freeze. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm getting windows all over my screen. Stop. There we go. Chris. Hello, hello.
Hello. Yes, I can hear you.
There we go. Oh, Mystical Wolfman as well. Let's join him in then. There. So we've got Dave and we got Chris. How are we all doing?
Might be short of magnificent. I'm moving into the other room where you can't hear the speakers.
That sounds like Dave, all right.
Sounds like Dave.
Yeah, now if you want to know why...
Tell us why, Dave.
I talked to a couple lawyers.
Oh.
About some other problems, and they took a look at stream licensing and said, what's it gain you? You can't control who listens to who simulcasts your shows. If they make money, you don't. Why should we give other people, shall we say, a way to make money at our expense?
I see your point.
And that was pointed out very poignantly to me. The gentleman up there, though, I have to say, Marvin, he's really a... See him as a donation.
All right.
But, I didn't get a thing from you on music either for last month.
Oh, I've been away. I've been out today. I was going to do it this evening after my show.
That's fine. I'll send them up tomorrow.
So.
Back to business.
All right, Dave is low.
I'm low. You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can turn you up a bit. Yeah, Chris is quite loud, and so I'll ride the volume control until.
Is that Chris Bull?
No, Chris Leprechaun.
Oh, it's Leppy. It's still Leppy.
Hey, Leppy, how are you?
Oh, now I can hear you.
Now I'm not watching the chat room because I'm in the little living room. I got a big, healthy wolf laying on the floor, and the wear terrier is down here at the other end of this couch, and Bubba's laying here, and I don't know where Tybo is. He's probably in the bathroom, other bathroom, sleeping like he likes to do. A little bit warm here today. It's, it's only 78 here in the house.
Well, it just started turning cold this afternoon on my hitchhike back. I was wearing a shirt. And then it got dark, and the wind started to blow, and it got cold, so... So, summer is more or less over here. If you could call it that. We haven't really had much of a summer. We've had, like, 3 days.
Yeah, also. And since the blue moon, it's getting colder now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was 60 degrees in the house this morning.
Wow.
I can't look at my thermometer with conversion on, so I can't tell you what that is.
Well, 60 is quite pleasant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not here. Not if you're used to the heat of the desert.
Ah. What is 60 then? Is that really cold? I can't really translate. It's like
it's something less than 20 to 25 degrees centigrade.
Hmm.
Oh, that's pleasant. That's pleasant for us up here.
That would be a good day.
To see a good day here, it gets up to 35 centigrade. In the summer.
I couldn't survive that. I'd just be a gibbering ball. Okay. Can't hear your guests. Oh, right. Yeah, you can't. That's why they're low. All right. Now I brought you in.
Let's start that again, guys.
The real reason, let me start out, the real reason why we got rid of stream licensing. There were legal reasons that I won't go into that made it very disadvantageous to Wolf Spirit Radio to be part of that group, plus that we were the only talk station they had.
Yeah.
Yet we were being governed, shall we say, like we were playing music 24/7. And next time you talk to Chris Bull, Jeremy, tell him that I'm playing his songs as much as possible.
Actually, I've not heard much from Bill's Hat recently.
Right.
Yeah. He's
been in the chat room in a long time.
He's been underground, so maybe he's gone black, as they say.
He's gone dark.
Yeah, gone dark. That's right. Got for music production and his secret underground laboratory.
Uh-huh. Well, my cleaning lady was there this morning with her daughter, who's almost as tall as I am, and I'm 5'11".
Yeah.
And she's 14 years old.
Yep, they're shooting up these days.
Oh, good Lord. And she combed out Bubba and Tybo and the Were-Terrier and Mr. Merlot.
Yeah.
And I pay her for it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I could do with someone combing out my ponytail. It's gotten very matted at the moment.
And how long is it?
It's down to the bottom of my shoulder blades, I think. It's a bit straggly.
Oh, I see they have a new brush on TV now that has 428 different sized bristles on it, and it doesn't tangle your hair and all that, and you can buy two for $14.95 US.
Oh, Dave, have you been watching TV again?
So
throw it out the window.
Propaganda.
Hey, listen, on Saturday night I watch Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network so I can watch my favorite Japanese animes.
Oh, of course, okay. That's all right.
Last night I fell asleep as soon as I got into bed, and I woke up about 2.5 hours later and had to turn the TV off and the light off.
Ah, yes, the Tel Avision, indeed.
Yeah, I haven't watched much TV, although, did you watch it last night, Chris? Doctor Who?
Yeah.
There's a new Doctor Who out, so...
there is a new Doctor Who?
Yeah, it came out last night, so it should be on the free TV shows website anytime.
Same Doctor Who that they've had the last couple of years?
Matthew, the guy with the big forehead.
Matt Smith, isn't it?
Yeah, Matt Smith, not David Tennant. The what?
The skinny guy.
Yeah, lanky, and he's got no eyebrows, and that's creepy.
Yeah, but you know who
my favorite Doctor Who was?
Tom Baker.
Tom Baker.
Yeah.
That's when it was really fun, but it's getting too realistic these days.
Yeah. They got real serious CGI these days, and it used to be like a couple of fireworks in the back of the Dalek box, and that was it. That was the special effects, and they made the camera go negative once or twice. And it was kind of charming, but I'm still addicted to it. I still can't let go of Doctor Who. It's brilliant.
Oh, it is brilliant. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yes.
And every once in a while, I go up and I come in here and I'll find BCC, and if they're playing Doctor Who, I watch it.
Oh yeah, BBC. Yeah, right. Because I didn't realize that you could get Doctor Who elsewhere. I thought it was a particular.
Oh, they have BCC America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you get Little Britain on it?
A little bit of Britain every now and then, yeah.
Yeah, Little Britain.
Oh, by the way, JP, I want to publicly thank you for all the work you do for Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, thank you, Dave. It's been quite a journey.
Yeah, but we're gonna take it where it's supposed to go now.
Yep. Yep.
And I am more than delighted with the way the chat room's turning out, because people in there are not afraid to say someone who's anonymous, sign in with a temp, and we're getting more and more people to get permanent nicks, which makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, it makes it safer because you know that people are there and identified and, known to be friendly and it's good. That's what, that's the idea of having a name, that you have a name and eventually you can trust it.
Yeah, and that's like Gypsy. She signed it as Gypsy1111, and that's really cool. But we have other people who consistently come in there with a temp nick, except for Pop. I can understand why she doesn't. But there's other people who just refuse to.
Well, yeah. When we get the moles of the shills, they are the fun ones. God be with the days where we could arm torpedoes and fire them out.
Oh yeah, we haven't had that for a long time.
Good work, Dave. Good work, JP.
Thank you. I'm glad you're back. Quite a bit of Leffy, I'm glad you're back. I missed you.
Yeah. I've been back and forth, but I do my best for Saturday night or for Sunday night with you guys on Ever Beyond. But it's great to be back.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, you're our man on the ground in London.
I am.
By the Olympic Stadium.
Very close.
You live about 3 miles, less than 3 miles from the Olympic.
About a 10-minute train journey. Put it this way, when the fireworks were going off for the opening ceremony for the Paralympics, it really sounded like an invasion. Something out of Iraq 2003, if you watch that thing. It was incredible. Anyway.
I am well.
So,
yes, Jeremy.
So, what's your verdict on the opening ceremony
of the opening of the Paras?
Of the Paras, yeah. There was, I mean, to me, as you know, I don't watch TV, and it's not. But
with the opening ceremony of the Olympics, the let's call it. How can I say this? It's so awkward. You've got the Paras, and then you have the Paralympics, and then you have the Olympics. So I watched the opening ceremony for both, and I watched the closing for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Paralympics haven't closed yet. They're due to close on the 9th of September on 9/11. Haha. we can
on the 11th or the 9th.
I think it's. I think it's the 9th or the 11th. I thought it was. I think it's ending on the 11th.
Right. Okay. So that is 9/11. Yeah.
That is 9/11. Yeah.
Because we do it the other way around in Britain, of course. Because everything we drive on the other side. All this stuff. I don't know why.
11/9. Yeah. the opening ceremony was obviously it was one of the, you know, coming from my background with stage and whatnot, it was the one of the most exciting, you know, live events I've seen staged like ever. I wasn't there at the stadium. I didn't apply for tickets, but it looked incredible. But I mean, how can you get away from the fact that, you know, you're surrounded, you know, in a stadium full of all seeing eyes, and pyramids were being built like right before you during the opening kind of ceremony. They'd have these like building blocks that would come together and would like form this pyramid. Like there were so many references, and it was completely laden with symbolism. It really was incredible. It really, really was incredible. An incredible Zion Olympic opening ceremony, and I would recommend people download it from a site somewhere and just watch it thoroughly. Like the whole thing is just over 3 hours, but that's with all of the teams, you know, the countries and the teams and their athletes like marching in. But if you watch the first hour and a bit, where it's the staged theatrical, you know, opening ceremony, it's extremely interesting. You learn quite a lot from it in terms of the, you know, the symbolism that's already there and what they produce in the spectacle also. And this also happened with the closing ceremony as well. You know, things were getting, you know, very dark. There was a lot of references towards death as well. All things Saturnian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Saturnalia.
Saturnalia.
I love that word.
That's one. Thank you. Saturnalia, especially when Annie Lennox came out in her part.
Really?
Singing. Annie Lennox was there, and things went incredibly dark when she came out. There was this guy, and it was all very theatrical, but he just had these like massive wings. He was like a bat. Everything just went really dark when she came out, the way it was, the way it was staged, you know. So it was incredibly interesting. But as someone said to me recently, JP, you know, it's not the end of the Olympics yet. We still have the if you want to be politically correct about it, the Olympics, you know, they technically finish on
9/11.
The 11th of September. So let's see.
Yeah. Tell me, are people really excited about this, or is it just a squib, or is it just me? I'm a grumpy old fellow.
Excited about what?
The Olympics. I mean, you know, there's always a sense let's go out and let's do some jogging down the road, and you know, I see it every time there's an Olympics on the TV. You know, you see for about, you know, a couple of weeks, usually a couple of weeks, people in pink tracksuits jogging around the streets, and then they all go back in, and you don't see them ever again.
Yeah, but a little bit of that. You know, I do my best to keep fit myself and kind of go to the gym and all of that. I mean, especially in 2012, one of the things we're told about is to look after ourselves the best we can physically as well. And if you can get some, well, for myself, I know, you know, exercise is important to help ground myself, get, you know, drag myself away from my head and into the rest of my body. So that's why I've recently taken an uptake and kind of, you know, pulling weights, etc., like for 2012 and beyond with what's coming. But to answer your question, there's been a little bit of an upsurge in people kind of, you know, hitting gyms and getting out and jogging and doing that whole kind of Chariots of Fire thing.
Yeah.
You know, the buzz is...
Until they end up in accident and emergency with sprained ankles and stuff like that. That should be interesting.
The buzz is definitely in the air. A little bit, you know, people are kind of, yeah, they're kind of going, wow, you know, the athletes are so fit, they're so this, they're so that. So there has been quite an uptake and upsurge in people kind of, you know, looking at, you know, getting into more sports. It's I think it's all very well. It's very positive, especially for you know, young children, you know, young people, teenagers as well, how to focus and direct their energies, you know, their excess energies as well through exercise and, you know, discovering skills that they didn't think they would have. For example, one of the medal winning team GB athletes, I mean, for example, she only took up rowing, I think she got a gold, yeah, I forget her name, she took up rowing only about, you know, 5 years ago. She was spotted and they were like, right, let's see how great we can make you for the games, and there you are, she was rowing for her country and she got gold. fantastic, you know. But it's not all kind of, hey, everybody, let's get out Mr. Motivator, kind of like Little Richard thing, and let's get fit. It's not that much in your face, yeah. But there's a good spirit.
All right.
And good unity, good oneness as well in the air. There's great support for and treasuring of the volunteers for the Olympics, and people's stories as well, where they've come from, these people who have been the quote unquote light bearers for the torch relays as well. And there's some incredible people coming out of the woodwork, like real unsung heroes as well, who are getting more light shined upon them and more scope for the work that they've done for themselves and for others in their community, which is really nice.
All right, so I thought there would be a little more of a drop off, but maybe it's just because I'm up here and it's starting to get cold. But you know, there was a very rapid drop off of, you know, pink tracksuits along the high street after a few days.
It's after Christmas kind of thing. It's like it's after Christmas, right? New Year's resolutions are kind of fit, you know. But then it's February, March. It's like, it dips off a bit.
January the 3rd for me, really. Actually, January the 3rd is the place, there's a time here in Scotland where people wake up. After Hogmanay, which is New Year's Eve. New Year's in Scotland, New Year's Eve is celebrated a lot more than Christmas. You know, people go home for Christmas, go to their families, and then for the New Year's they see their friends. That's always that's the kind of difference. So you go home for Christmas and you go out partying on New Year's Eve, and people get very excited about the New Year.
That's January the 3rd. You say Hogmanay is the 3rd, did you?
December the 31st. I'm alluding to is the fact that it's a 3-day party.
Uh-huh.
it's a celebration. It really. I mean, well, you know, being Celtic yourself, you'll understand the capacity for the Celts to party.
Absolutely.
Let's put it that way.
Not going to deny that, but of course we have the number 3. And going back to, you know, your show with Gary as well, JP, uh-huh. which was fantastic. We've had private conversations, you know, regarding Gary and the numbers and the sheer amount, you know, of knowledge that people have taken on board, you know, regarding, you know, that show and the numbers. And we have a 3-day, which is very childlike,
yeah.
And which is very playful. So people who were born on the 3-day, for example, would have that very kind of childlike quality and playfulness about them. But you just mentioned the number 3 over the course of 3 days as well. Mm-hmm. We have this playing going on, you know, and this drinking and all of this stuff. So it's very interesting.
It's great. That's the way. And we should have that every month. Wouldn't it be great if the new month or the new moon,
yes.
you know, was a great party? Actually, the full moon is a great party. You know, being and you've probably seen this yourself. You know, being a gigging musician, you know, you go out and you play in bands, and some places you see lots of people, and some places you don't. And I noticed that whenever it was the full moon, people tended to go out more, and so we had more people, you know, more audience on the full moons. So eventually we decided just to play gigs on the full moon and have a whole kind of, we did a little sort of mini festival thing, you know, the full moon party. And where did we do that? In Camden Town when we were staying in
London. Oh, right. Oh, wow. Well, that's a fantastic place to be, you know, for that sort of stuff in London as well. That's great. But I mean, for the Blue Moon, that was Friday, wasn't it? That was Friday night? Friday just gone. Yeah. Yeah, of course, I felt that myself. Being kind of having a lunar Uranian pattern, that would be, you know, myself astrologically, and so even for the supermoon as well, that was really intense. But on that blue moon night, you know, I was doing some work up north over, you know, weekend just gone on, but we travelled up on the Friday night. But when I was, you know, going to sleep in the in the hotel where we were staying over, when we got in late, it definitely took me quite a bit of time to get to sleep, because I just didn't want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Just wanted to be up and about, and I felt quite warm. I felt quite charged up indeed as well. So, and the moon was shining in the window, so You know, it's not that I needed to grow, you know, any more hair than I have on my body, JP, you know, and grow some teeth and all of that stuff. But no, there was that kind of there was that alluding to, no, I can't go to sleep. Yeah, I could have been easily up for another couple of hours wandering about, going outside and creating a bit of ruckus, you know. Absolutely.
Well, I have to say, you know, the cows were mooing away for the last. They've all gone quiet again now, but for the last couple of days they were mooing and mooing and mooing, and I'm sure that's where we get the name moon from. Is, you know, what the cows do in the full moon. It's like, you know,
that is something to look up. You know, these simple things are something very interesting to research there.
Yeah, I bet. Talking for a second. Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Two dog. Cherokee New Year starts next month, he says. Is it a lunar year calendar that you have? And do you start months on the new moon? Let's see if Two Dog can reply to that. Because that, you know, I'm fascinated by calendars. I've always had to, you know, being a computer guy, you know, you have to deal with dates, and it's, you know, it's just really non-linear. It's incredibly non-linear.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by Jay Widener, and you know, we're currently in the Bronze Age of the Kali Yuga. That's correct, isn't it?
Something like that. I thought we'd
that
we're at the end of the Iron Age.
Well, at the end of the Iron, going into the Bronze.
Possibly.
Or bronze going into gold.
I thought we were going to the gold age from the Iron Age.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure about that.
Well, those calendars are very, they are very interesting. Right?
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going back out to the studio so I can watch the chat room.
Oh, right, Dave. So you've been hanging out.
Okay, Fox.
I've been sitting here listening.
Bless your heart.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Call, JP.
That's all right, Dave.
Y'all in the chat room.
Bless your heart.
See you in a bit, Dave. He's gone.
There's Dave. Thank you, Dave. So
very interesting stuff, JP. You know, kind of continue on with the blue moon as well and energies. There seems to be. I'm not in the chat room, but I'm sure everyone else is. You know, listening. You know, as intently as possible.
Watching.
That there's been. Since the 29th, which was an 11-day, there's been quite a lot of stuff coming up, and you know, coming up towards the blue moon, and after that as well, on the 11th day and after, regarding health, disease, etc., and relationships as well. You know, that particular week, even for myself, it's got a lot of stuff coming up, some very strong emotions. One for me is anger. You know, in the past couple of days, there seems to be a clearing or a processing which is going on. I was speaking to a Reiki Endure master earlier on. I was doing some Kundalini yoga in London. I feel
as you
very,
do
very well.
Kundalini
as
yoga.
Tell us about
Kundalini
that.
Yoga. Kundalini yoga. Oh wow. Okay. Well,
I know what Kundalini is, and I know what yoga is. But I don't know what Kundalini yoga is.
Well, Kundalini yoga would be, for example, you know, you're there, you have your mat, you're in full lotus or half lotus, you have your instructor there. It's the same setup as a yoga class, okay? And we'd have kind of quite a small class. It's a drop-in thing. It's very inexpensive. But we have a lovely yoga teacher called Marth, this Indian chap, and he's absolutely great. He alternates with another Kundalini yoga teacher, but it's regarding JP. It's a mixture of kriyas, which would be the positions, and then mudras as well with the fingers. And there's lots of meditation and lots of focus on the breath as well. With Kundalini yoga, it's best way to describe it would be there's a long way and kind of more succinct way. I'll try and kind of gather my thoughts and go about it as succinctly as possible. It's about bringing awareness to oneself, increasing your awareness, calming the mind chatter, strengthening your body as well, especially the core. We were doing lots of exercises today to stimulate lymph nodes, and our glands in particular, as we are having a change in weather as well. And this is to help boost our immunity to help fight infection and disease. And with Kundalini Yoga, you know, you can work up quite a sweat. There's a lot of, you know, when you really throw yourself into the exercises, which can be well, they're quite simple. They're not beyond anyone's physical capacity. That's what we're told, but they can be quite challenging, especially when it's the core work around your kind of tummy as well. You generate a lot of heat, a lot of sweat, but you feel great after it. It's not Bikram yoga. It wouldn't be hot yoga like you're in a sauna. But Kundalini yoga is very invigorating with the kriyas and the postures and the angles. So like Kundalini yoga is all about the angles as well, 45 degree angles, 90 degree angles, with your feet positions, with your body, etc. I thoroughly recommend it for people if they would like to increase their, you know, core strength, all-round fitness. But if they'd like to help bring more of a sense of awareness, peace, groundness, and connection to source as well into their day. And it's important to drink a lot of water in the process as well. Pretty much works, you know, the same as a healing. You know, drink a lot of water about 24 to 48 hours after that to flush yourself out. You know, you do go at your own pace with Kundalini yoga. It's quite well renowned, JP. As far as I know with my research, it's been around since the 60s. But you know, of course, there's been such an uptake with different forms, with different facets of yoga in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. It's really surged. But I would encourage everyone to try, you know, your standard yoga, and then maybe investigate some Bikram, which is the hot yoga, where you can really stretch your body gradually, or try the Kundalini yoga as well. But it is different. This is not Kundalini rising. This is Kundalini yoga, where you're evoking a greater sense of awareness and groundness and connectedness to source as well, and you're strengthening the body too. It really also depends on which way your instructor, your Kundalini yoga teacher, would like to go about things as well, how they would like to give you the lesson. But it's very, very beneficial to your health and to your body. I would recommend it. Yeah.
Very good. Because I had this bike crash, you know, doing yoga positions and doing asanas, it's a bit very difficult for me. Let me put it that way. Because my body's not very flexible as it used to be. You do take your time.
There are in Kundalini yoga as well as yoga, there are alternate positions that you can take as well, and they do work with people who have, you know, a history, of course, of injuries, but still do want to take part. So there really is something for everyone in there. It's of course, naturally, it's non-discriminating. You know, all are welcome. So you really just, you basically, all that's requested, the teacher holds the neutral space. They be as impartial as they kind of say, just do your best for yourself. You would come to class, you would set your intent, and when you're really kind of huffing and puffing and popping the sweat, and there's lots of heat being generated, you're being asked to remind yourself of the intent that you've set at the beginning of the class. So say, for example, my intent for today was release, and that would be connected to some anger I've been feeling as well. So you come with your intent, you just work with that to the best that you can with your physical capabilities and abilities too.
But I couldn't think of anything worse. You know, we talk about sports and fitness. But this whole, you know, you see the trainer and he's screaming and shouting at the guy or the girl doing it. And you see these these Chinese girls that are being bent over double backwards, you know. And you think, no, that's far too violent kind of exercise for me. But Yeah, the yoga thing. You know, of course, my housemate also is a yoga teacher, and he's
Nick is a yoga teacher.
He's been working at the Yoga for Health Foundation.
He's a yogi.
Many years ago, yeah. And so we've all got this, you know, this kind of yoga. In fact, you know, everybody up here, you know, does something or other.
Everyone up in Finland.
Tell me,
a yogi or a Reiki master? You were saying.
That's right. You can't walk down the high street without tripping over one or two Reiki masters here. if you tell me about mudras, I discussed this with our dear friend Rita Mudras because. I experience when I meditate, my hands do them automatically. Mm. I get these. It's like if anyone has ever seen these Tibetan paintings of these Buddhas and Taras and things like that. They're kind of archetypal energetic patterns for the human body, and you see them with like 8 or 9 arms. But it's not because they got 8 or 9 arms, but they're showing that the 8 or 9 arms are in different positions, and each of the different if you look at all the hands are all doing something very different, and those things that they're doing are called mudras, and those are the way that every finger has a chakra at the end of it. Every fingertip is a chakra. And in the palm of your hand is a chakra. And they're like a transmission system. Mm-hmm. And so with that basis, what mudras have you learned through this thing? And do you know of any of their names? Do you know their names and their function is?
I would be very open, honest, JP, with yourself and the listeners, and say I only have a certain degree of experience.
Oh, of course,
with mudras. I'm a Padawan. I'm quite inexperienced to a degree with this, but I'll do the best that I can to share what we would use in Kundalini yoga. Or, for example, what I use today, very basic mudra, for example, would be to and I'd love to go into, you know, a couple of things about kind of hand chakras and whatnot. That's it's extremely interesting. The hands are so interesting with chakras.
Go for it.
Very very basic hand mudra for people, and they can practice as I say this to them. You literally just open your hands, take your left hand, for example. I'm just doing that because I'm left-handed anyway. You just take your first finger. And you just bring the tip of it to your thumb, and you just apply some light pressure to connect them together. You've got your other three fingers there, and when you have them, when you're sitting in, say, full lotus or half lotus, that would be, for example, in English, that's when your legs are crossed together in a certain
way. And folded up in that impossible-looking way.
In that possible-looking way,
no, it looks impossible.
It takes quite a bit of practice.
Yeah, it would hurt me. Anyway, go on.
So you have on both hands. So you have your first finger with each hand, so it's connected with some light, not too much pressure to the thumb. So you make that connection there, and the other three fingers are pointing. They're pointing down. They're straight and they're pointing down. One thing to mention about Kundalini Yoga, it's really taking yourself away from the mind, taking yourself, disassociating and disconnecting yourself for that time, unplugging yourself from the matrix, from your personality. One very important thing I learned today, a very important mantra, would be I am me, I am all, I am all that exists. Oh no, I beg your pardon, I'll say that again. I am me, I still exist. Found that very profound, very 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 powerful mantra, and I'd invite people if they wish to incorporate that into their day as well. And it was great because I was there, and when I had this kind of like awakening around that particular mantra, I am me, I still exist. There was this part of me that went, oh well, F materialism and all these particular things people say that. You know, I should have this, I should have that. There's all a list of these things I need, you know, for myself personally, or just recommendations from other people. I am me. I still exist. I am more than these particular things. I just wanted to share that.
That's interesting, actually, Chris, because, you know, what you're saying is that if you were to say that mantra every day,
Yeah.
And suddenly, you woke up one morning dead, and you still say it. You become a fully conscious being, and you'll rise straight up.
Yeah. I am me. I still exist. And even if people take, if they take the take the first finger and they just apply some pressure, bring it to the thumb, you have your three fingers, and you know you can sit in your bed or sit in your chair and just make sure your three fingers are pointing down. I was just saying with them, with Kundalini Yoga, it's regarding the kriyas, the positions. It's quite technical as well. It's about the angles also. You focus your mind on the exercise, the technicalities at hand, so you can unplug yourself from the matrix. You can unplug yourself from your personality, your social inner circles, all of these things, and you concentrate at what's at hand. You know, with the lessons, with the kriyas, with the positions themselves. And the more you put into it, the more heat you generate, the more you get out of this, though the greater the quality of the experience will be for yourself with the session of Kundalini yoga. But that's what I just wanted to share, that particular mudra position is very, very simple. It's very basic, very powerful. And the thing, JP, about the tops of the fingertips, and I'm a Reiki 2 practitioner, and I don't you know take donations. I practice in terms of giving, receiving, healing energy. I haven't taken it to being a Reiki 3 or a master Reiki practitioner yet. You know, that will all kind of come in time. But I'm all about kind of giving, receiving, and practicing with what I have and developing that. But what I've noticed about the fingertips, JP, and if the listeners can hear, is that, you know, I don't know, sometimes you get this like this buzzing. There's this buzzing or there's this tingling sensation which is around the tops of the fingertips. And someone described that to me as being very, very high vibrational energy as well. You get this buzzing or this fizzling kind of feeling, tingling feeling, sparkly feeling around the hand chakras when they open. But there's something very interesting regarding the very tops of the fingertips. They are vibrating even quicker than the rest of the hand chakras. So there is definitely something, JP, to connect these higher vibrational densities when we actually join the fingers to our thumbs on both hands. When we create these mudras as well, we are creating these connections, these microcosmic orbits. There's a thing which is called the microcosmic orbit. For example, you would have your hands in mudra, you would have your tongue placed on the ridge of your upper palate. It's also called the alveolar ridge as well. So you're creating a connection, an orbit, this space inside yourself as well. And I'd invite people to try this and to practice this. Well, and then they have very, very profound experience. I mean, I've experienced that. It's used, you know, in all forms of meditation, but also in Zazen, in Zen meditation as well. That's very, very strong stuff. Sorry, Jay, you were going to say.
Well, we're just about to take a break, and I thought that I'd put this one on. I did have another track lined up, but I thought I'll put this one on, which is you can just do this if you sit and relax, sit in a comfortable position, maybe put rest your hands on your lap, or if you like, you can start with the position, the mudra position, that in a very relaxed way, just touch your fingertips on both hands, Chris.
Yeah, just you take your first finger of each hand and just gently press it to your thumb. Just join it with your thumb and with both tips, just press them into each other and make sure the rest of your three fingers are pointing downwards. And try and cross your legs and sit in your bed, or if you're just sitting...
Yeah, just sit in a place where you can breathe, where you can breathe with your diaphragm. And this is Buddha Maitreya and the Chenrezig instrumental. This is the Bodhisattva vow. If anybody's ever heard of the Bodhisattva vow, it's the vow to give up nirvana until all beings are enlightened. So, you know, otherwise it's a lonely place. Okay, here we go.
Buddha Maitreya there with the Chinrezi Puja. How was that for you, Chris?
That was very nice. Thank you for that. That was it was a very nice gift, JP. That had a great it had a great beat. There was definitely something Indian, maybe something even Cherokee about that. I don't know how Two Dog enjoyed that.
But he's Blackfoot.
That was very nice.
He's Blackfoot.
Oh right, I see.
From Oregon.
Yes, there was a great beat off that, and it really sounded like it was an actual a Beuron, which is predominantly Celtic drum, which was being beaten by the stick there. But
you're probably right.
Like a Beuron. Yeah.
The Indian frame drum has it's more down, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. I recognise the skin sound of that particular drum, and that sounded like a typical kind of Gaelic Celtic drum, which the Beuron is called in Irish. But it was a very nice piece, thank you. I hope people enjoyed that.
Yes, or as English people say, the Bodhran.
The Bodhran, exactly. We call it a Beuron with the accent on the A.
And in Scotland they call it a Baron.
A Baron, they just about got it,
We have Charles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here comes Two Dog. I'll see you, Two Dog.
Oh, see you. I'd like, if I could, just add a little bit to the... Oh, man, thank you for that music, man. It sent me away.
Yeah.
Now, I'm fixing to say a little bit on how old I am.
You're a young man, aren't you?
I moved into a hippie colony back... about 1968.
All right.
And for the ladies and gentlemen that are hearing my voice, man, I've gotten into the same meditation, of course. But there was one individual that, if you do this, you know, the meditation that you guys are talking about, his name is Ravi Shankar.
All right.
Sitar. Yeah, sitar.
Yes.
And he was involved in a couple of concerts here in America.
Mm-hmm.
One was Woodstock, and I think the other one, I can't remember the other one, but...
It was the George Harrison thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, I live with the hippies, so some of my mind ain't goofy all day.
left a few brain cells back forever. Yeah,
I left a few back there in the car.
Good man. You got plenty to spare.
I got plenty to spare. Thank you, Grandfather. One of the things that I actually do, I have several of his CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, I put them in a cassette player that I got, and you know, I take a cord outside. And old Indian used to, you know, we thought this one Indian lost his mind until we kind of figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
He said to be Indian is to hug a tree, and we thought a minute. But see, since the tree is a connection between earth and sky, and it gives you breath as you give it back to the tree. So I do a lot of that. I sit under the tree, I hug the tree, then I sit underneath it and lament quite a bit. And to those who are listening, man, get Ravi Shankar, get any of his music. If you do this, you know, yoga or any type of meditation, it's great.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Ravi Shankar, and he's very well known with the Indian community, the Hindi and the Tamil community in the United Kingdom and abroad. In fact, all over the world, internationally, Two Dog. Ravi Shankar is very well known also for the fact that his daughter is a very well known singer in Europe, and her name is Nora Jones. And that's Nora Jones's daddy, who is Ravi Shankar. So Ravi Shankar is really a legend with the sitar. He has a lot of beautiful music with the sitar, the tabla, and the flute as well. And his music is fortunately, it's very free and about on YouTube. So all people have to do is go to YouTube, type in Ravi, R-A-V-I, Shankar, S-H-A-N-K-A-R, and they're going to pick up some really beautiful pieces by Ravi, which can go from 5-10 minutes upwards. He has some incredible stuff on the sitar, and it's really great for meditations or movement or whatever you like. It's very good stuff. Very good stuff.
Matter of fact, and this goes to an individual that come out of Liverpool, as far as George of the Beatles. He taught George Harrison how to play that.
That's right.
And some of if you get some of, I think it's the White Album, maybe a one a little further.
Without looking out of my door. Yeah, I love those.
He knew how to play the sitar thanks to Ravi Shankar.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, you know what it was, you know, in the hippie time, of course, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I hate to say that, but you know, the thing of peace and free, you know, freedom, free in the mind, free in the spirit. You know, what it was is all the Indians that I figured wanted to be like the Indian, you know, American Indian, and they were just too pacifist. You know, in a lot of ways they were, but what they believed in, man, was the sweet up. I mean, we did all that with Ravi Shankar. We did all kinds of meditation things. I was also involved in that.
Excellent. That's good to hear that you've had, because that is one of the Hopi prophecies, isn't it?
Yes.
That.
It was also stated that I'm not putting nobody down, but it was also stated by the Indian that when the white man started wearing necklaces and let their hair grow, that they would learn a lot about what we're about as a
man. It's happening to them. It's happening too, dog. It's been happening at quite a rate, you know. I believe that's getting, we're moving towards a golden age too, dog, and this is occurring faster than we think. I know there's a lot of the whole kind of, you know, new age thing and whatnot, but people are, you know, they're really getting switched on at a fast rate, turning on, tuning in, copping out. As it was said back in the 60s. that's where they had the real good drugs.
It used to be in America, it was tune in, turn on, drop out.
Drop out. Oh, right, I see.
And we were all, you know, we were all, of course, protesting the war. But the thing about it is, with me, I hate war. I don't hate the warrior. You know, so we were putting flowers in gun barrels back in them days. You have to understand, I was only 10 when I was doing this. So they taught me a whole lot. And Ravi Shankar taught me a whole lot just by doing the meditation, like, you know, with the with your fingers, with your thumb setting. I set Indian style, you know, pretty much I put one foot over the other and I sit there while the music's playing, and you'll be amazed where your spirit will fly to.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry for interrupting your show again, Jay, but
not at all.
But you're talking about, you know, you're talking about a little bit of stuff that I was involved in. And I still am. I'm 53 years old. I still do a lot of meditation. And I did ceremony two nights ago. And if you can hear my voice, I'm doing much, much better, man.
I can hear you. You do have there's an extra sparkle to you tonight, too, dog.
It's been a circle with me for 2 days.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. So listen, so we got some, there is some material here we need to chew on.
Gnaw on.
Some universe to gnaw on, as Cliff Fire says. Yes. So we're talking about the Hopi prophecies and all of these things. This I can't remember what number it is. It was one of very. There's a whole bunch of prophecies. Can you? Does either of you know them off the top of your head? There was one about the crisscrossed. The country will be crisscrossed with a web of iron or something, which is like the railroads. And there's all these different stages. And one of the last ones was that the children of the people of the white people will grow their hair and learn the old ways. And then comes the blue kachina, and then comes the red kachina, which is known as the cleanser.
Yes. Now this is the system. I kind of hear an echo.
Yeah. Chris, do you want to turn your speakers down a little bit?
Oh yeah, I will indeed. Sorry.
Well, let me see if I can do this right. Now, within that prophecy of the white man will wear necklaces and grow his hair long, and it was also said by Tashukawiko of the Lakota people, you know him as Crazy Horse. He also stated that the children of the white man will come to learn what their ancestors would not. And I have many, many English friends, European friends here, you know, through the chat room and on my Skype and everywhere else, that I'm actually a teacher too, you know. And once you get into that, what I call heart mode, is that's when your heart tells you it's time to go back to the mother. Time to go back and sit with the mother and learn from the elders that are willing to teach you. Now, understand, you know, some of our ceremonies and things are not to be discussed, but there are a whole lot of things we can show you.
I think really, you know, just being able to take on the attitude. It all starts with having the attitude, doesn't it? It's not about what you know, it's how you respond to things, how you live with the universe as it is, as it happens, without trying to control it or something like that.
Let's put it this way. It was said by the Diné people, the Navajo, that you have every man, has the venom inside of himself, and that is where his heart is. To understand the woman and to be equal with the woman is, to me, closer to the Creator than I am, because she's like the earth, she's the sister to the earth. Without her, we all come from woman. So without the woman, there would be no England, no America, none of the 500 nations, no nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's been taught with me all my life by my grandfather, is to open the side of the venom inside of myself, where every time I walk, every step I walk, I understand what the woman goes through. Of course, I'm not the woman, but to understand and sit with them. Many women come to me and talk to me all the time. And believe me, they say some things I don't really want to know, but I listen. You know?
Yep.
It's an opening. You know, it states in when, you know, you take Western marriages, it states in the man that we are supposed to, of course, love and protect, okay?
It states for the woman to love and obey. I don't want my woman to obey me. I just want to work with her.
Yep.
To make me have a better life, see? She's not my slave. She's more than I am, truthfully, because she gives life. She's a life giver. So, in my culture, I've been taught that every woman is a life giver, so it is up to me to bow to them because of what they do. And it was also stated that the clan mothers would start speaking, and they're already doing that.
Yeah, that's the next thing, isn't it? That's the next stage, is when the mothers start talking and shutting things down that they don't like anymore.
Well, it's what I'm doing right now with the clan mothers and the women. I'm going to stand as a warrior to make sure that all these prophecies come true while I'm alive. Or whatever they, you know, I'm going to be there for a warrior, as a warrior, to stand with them. Because more and more every day we're getting closer. We're getting closer and closer.
Yep.
To the time there's not going to be no TV, no nothing. And if we don't tribe up with each other, as far as the whole world in general, where will we be?
Let's just talk about marriage for a second. In your traditional culture, what's the deal? How does it work? How does it work? Because I think people have an idea of how it works in Western culture. So, tell us about it.
In our little band of American Indians here, we do a ceremony also. And that's where the young woman will be standing by her mother, and she will have a blanket wrapped around it, okay? And there could be lines of young men, okay? A whole line. One man, young man will step up. She will take the blanket and go over both of them. And they will talk, introduce themselves. It is up to the mother how long they're going to be under there. And it'll go to the next. Now, also in old culture, you would gift the father and the family gifts for the hand of the woman that you're looking for. You see, you understand?
Yeah, your dowry.
Yeah, they'd be given like, okay. Let's look at it this way. If you have like however many horses you want to gift the father, that shows the father that you're rich enough to be able to take care of the daughter. And then marriage ceremony will happen.
Well, so let's go back to the blanket thing. So this is to, you know, the two people go together in this little environment, and you can really feel how somebody is, can't you? You really, you know, it's not
sure.
Like a, it's that you can't put any pretense on in the sack, as it were.
I tell you how me and my wife did this. I would have a blanket. She would have a blanket. And there would be a Washashua Khan, as far as a holy man or medicine man or whoever's doing the ceremony. And then there would be one guy behind us with a big blanket. He's holding it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell me what my duties are for marrying this woman. Love, honor, respect, and I'm also a provider. In other words, I bring the meat.
Mm-hmm.
I feed my family. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as this ceremony is going on, after he tells me and gets everything out of the way, and it's all right, we both, my wife and myself, drop our blankets. The guy steps up with the big blanket, and we wrap ourselves up in it together.
Uh-huh.
So two becomes one.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's how I, you know, we did it.
So, did you do this kind of long line thing?
I have done it in my time.
Yeah.
But I wasn't rich enough.
Uh huh.
You know, so watch Dave. But you know, our spiritual connection. We have always known that we are connected to the earth. And that we are the caretakers of Maka Ina, our Earth Mother. So, you know, we drum and sing. That is also meditation.
Of course.
I mean, if I ask, if I wish to, I'll take my shoes off, go outside, sit on the bosom of my mother. I'll sing these words. And it'll go, Tankashila Oshi Malayo. Over and over and over. Tankashula Oshi Malayo. In other words, Grandfather, help me. It's constant. So I feel great today, and I felt great yesterday. I mean, I hurt like crazy from the nerve diseases from when I had to fight like I did. But physical problems, and this is what I tell the people in the chat rooms that are listening, and Chris and yourself, is the physical problems, like the neuropathy and the autonomic dysfunction, it makes me pass out, all the negative stuff, has done one positive thing. Okay? The physical conditions for myself has become a spiritual blessing. Because the women of my small band and even another Native organization, they told me that I would be speaking to people all over the world. And I went, that's going to happen.
Yeah. Is that funny?
But it's not funny, but it is the way I said it. And they said, you'll see. And within 6 months of when they said it, within half a year, I'm all over the world.
There you go.
So this is what I'm saying to the men. Listen to your women, because that's where your truth lies. She is the life giver. That's where all men's truth lies.
You know, I've almost managed to get my girlfriend convinced that I was right. Thank you very much, Two-Dog.
I'm sorry. We could do this a lot, JP.
Let's hope Wolf Baby's not listening here. She probably is.
Well,
God bless you, lady.
You know, I have to say this to you and Chris. If you look at your whole entire body from your toes to the top of your head, you are. It's not that, you know, you have to go to a building to keep the Creator in it, you know.
Mm.
My church is outside, all of nature. That's my church. We have been taught, under every leaf and rock, Creator gives you a teaching tool. But another thing is that you can look at your whole entire body from toe to head and understand that you're actually like a temple. you know?
Yeah.
We are all going to be known by the tracks we leave behind us. That's a old Lakota saying. But if you get these situations where every step you take, you get breath from the Creator. So every step you take on Maka'ina, your Earth Mother, you're constantly talking, constantly, constant prayer, constant talk. Believe me,
yes.
I don't care who sees me out here. If I'm doing the meditation that you're talking about, or I'm doing a prayer ceremony out here, whatever I do, if somebody stops me, oh, that might be someone that wishes to know what I'm doing in a good way. So we need to open up.
I think I was still, you know, having this very small conversation with the lorry driver, and we were just talking, you know, how little people, how small amounts of people now are hitchhiking, because there's so much fear out on the roads. But to me, it's the same road, the same things going on. You know, it's just the fear has been pumped into the atmosphere. Chris, go on.
Oh, no, sorry, I wasn't saying anything.
All right.
I was just listening.
What I was wanting to do with you guys, you just opened up something, okay?
Okay.
KP.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to show you something. Now, today's time, brothers and sisters, especially here in America, if you're hitchhiking, please, Kenna Rushday, please, watch yourself, because it's getting more and more dangerous. Okay? Now, when I was young, and I mean young, 8, 9, 10, I was getting on buses going all over the United States. But that, I don't know why, I had to grow up real fast when I was a child. But I hitchhiked into San Antonio, Texas. Okay? This is a funny story. And I hitchhiked from Adairville, Kentucky now, little Indian town. I hitchhiked all the way to San Antonio, Texas. I'm standing on a corner, and this was in about 1969. I was 10 years old. And I'm looking over to my left, and I swear, if you ever seen the Partridge Family's bus, here comes this great big old school bus, right? And it's painted up with flowers and, oh my God, everything. And I'm just sitting there watching this big bus. And it stopped right in front of me. And the guy driving pulled the door open, right? And I'm looking at him, and you know how they say Jesus Christ looked like, you know, in the churches?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This dude looked at me. He said, "Hey, little brother, you won't come on the bus?" And I looked up at him. I'm like, "Ooh, you're Jesus." Which screwed him. So I ended up getting on the bus, okay, and we went up to Houston. But, bro, there was everything you could ask for on that bus. You know, what got me was there was blotter. Let's put it that way. That was blotter going everywhere, which is acid. And, of course, the ganji. As far as the weed, the sacred herb.
The sacred herb of the Ganges. Yes.
Of course, there was an orgy in the back.
Oh, my God.
Which they asked me to participate in, and I'm going, no, don't think so. But
the stuff that they were talking, man, they were singing, talking, they were happy. No one bothered them. You know? And I thought to myself, love and peace, that is the way. That's exactly the way we should be. So, you know, it taught me an experience, see. Plus, Ravi Shankar was playing in the bus.
Ah, this is where it started, eh?
That was even better, man. So, actually, I took my little trip in the trip, and I had a little more of a human awakening.
Excellent. Well, that started things for you. You're lucky. Lucky man. I mean, I had a very sheltered upbringing. No hippie buses for me. But hey, we got a question from the chat room. Let's see, gentlemen. As men, this is from Andrew. As men, we assume roles as leaders into As men, we assume role as leaders into society's positions. Each culture's influence a male's set of choice patterns. What wisdom is our male life path teaching our sisters in our generational life walk? Wow, did you get that, guys?
Well, can I add to that?
Go on.
If you don't mind, then Chris.
Go ahead, Tudor.
What I see, you have to understand, in our life, as far as the Indian life, okay, I live in a matriarchal society. Actually, the women run the tribe, all right? In other words, I am a leader of my small band. But if I got a problem, I go to the clan mother. Okay, they give me their wisdom. If I get angry and I want to go to war, I go to the clan mothers. If they say no, I'm the aw shucks. Okay, yes, ma'am. You know. Because if you look at modern society, okay, especially, say, America. America is let your women be silent in church. Basically, it's a male-dominated society.
Mm.
So we as Indian people, since we live a matriarchal society, it's off-center. I don't understand it. Believe me, I don't understand it. Because actually, men, we think a lot of times with our fist. Okay. Women think with their hearts. So there it be. They are the leaders, whether you want to know it or not. They are the strength. Women are much stronger than I am. I am a leader. If the women say, hey, you need to go over here and stop this, then I go what they want me to do. If they say, don't even touch it, I ain't got nothing to do with nothing. I do what they tell me.
Amazing.
I don't know. Did that help the question?
I don't know. Chris, it kind of, essentially, you know, I really get you. I mean, when I grew up, I had my sister and my mother and my grandmother all living there. And my mum definitely ruled the roost, and she she was the loudest mouth. And
my mother was.
Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, bring it on. Well, I mean, it wasn't brilliant, but it was better than everybody being beaten up. I'd say, it's a step up. It would be better if everybody was harmonious, you know.
Believe me, in America, where, you know, in the small Indian town I was raised in, and, you know, other situations, I've had my backside handed to me more times than I want to account for, but you have to see, I was doing what the women told me.
I'm just following orders. Yeah.
When I got beat up, left for dead when I was 12 years old, I was speaking for those who couldn't speak for themselves, as far as the ancestors. Mm. You know, that was what I was about. I was like a buzzard man. You know, I went and spoke for the ones in the graves that were being taken, you know, putting on black market. So that's what I was doing.
Sorry? You mean it like Indian bones?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were getting into our burial ground, and American Indians are, high cost on black market, believe me.
Really? That's both macabre and bizarre. But anyway, right, so, but that's interesting.
I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, you did. Right, I expanded things.
I love you, Andrew. I tried.
There's a lot of things that you've been telling us that we've never heard about, right? Yeah. That is like, oh my God, what have white people done? What have we done?
Well, see, you still got organizations out there that I live really close to, which I have no fear with. Okay, like the 3K, especially the 3Ks. But they know I'm not afraid of them. Because, you know, this is the thing. And I'm not speaking for my family, but I'm speaking for myself in general. Okay? You can put me in the earth, mother. You can kill me and put me there. All right? You can do all you want, man. Because once you do, my spirit's going to fly. So I'm not worried. You put me in my earth, mother, I've won. So go ahead. Do your dirty work. See if you can.
You cannot kill me. It will make me stronger.
Sure.
Indeed.
Even in death, the spirit room. See, every one of us are three spirits in a three-dimensional shell, man. I don't care who you are. English, Indian, Scottish, I don't care. We're all spirits within this three-dimensional shell. And if you want to put me in my earth mother for what I believe in, wash day, do it. Good. My spirit will go on. I won. You lost the battle, big man.
That's right. And that brings us right back to what Chris was saying earlier. I am. Yeah. I still am. What was it, Chris? I missed it. He's there. No, he's
there, Chris?
He's gone to the bathroom.
Yes. I'm here.
There you are. What was the quote?
I am me, I still exist.
There's the one, thank you. I am me, I still exist. So that's exactly what Two Dog is saying there.
Mm. Let me show you an example, okay? 7 years ago, my tribe had a war with a certain county I'm not going to speak of. Now, I lost two good chiefs, and since you're new about this, in my culture, I'm really not supposed to speak his name, you know. But you're new, so I will give you that reasoning, okay? He was a medicine man for my band, okay. If anything bad starts, or I get a bad feeling or bad vibe about what's going to happen within this day, I have a picture of him hanging right over. His name is Bear Walking. That's what his name is. He was 6'7". He was also a Navy SEAL. Now, he's gone now for 3-4 years.
when he left, there come a big storm. And yeah, it's been 7 years actually, but it come a big storm. And my wife said, "The garbage can's gone. Go find it." So I had to run out in this storm to find a garbage can, you know. And I'm looking for this, and I look up, and this garbage can falls out of the sky, and I heard him laughing. Okay. Now, in my house, if something, I get a bad vibe about what's going to happen, the picture that I have over the couch will start banging against the wall. And then I go, oh, I don't know if I'm about to go out or not, you know.
On one of those 7 days.
So, you know, you can kill the body, but you cannot kill the spirit. The spirit goes on. It continues within the spirit world.
And comes back.
Variable walking is a proof of it.
Mm. I have a question for you. I haven't heard of this person. So, have you heard of the teachings of Coco Pelli?
Yeah.
What's your view of them? I don't know if you want to answer that question. You don't have to answer that question if you don't want to, because, you know, talking about other people's teachings is a bit often a bit judgmental, but...
It can be a bit judgmental, man. I'm a very traditional individual, and I listen to... I watch, you know, I remember back in the words of Setting Bull or Crazy Horse or something like that. I don't know how to say anything about that, but I've heard of him and I've listened. The way I look at it, if there's someone, you take me for instance, if I say something, if I'm doing a teacher, people consider me a teacher, okay? But if I teach you something and it helps your heart, and this is what I say to many, many of my beloved ones that I'm meeting now. Anytime I help, you know, like Star or Dolly or whatever, if I say anything that helps your heart, the last thing you do, okay, is thank me. You thank the Creator. I'm just a messenger. I give that from Him.
Bless your heart. That's so beautiful. Do you know when I first heard you guys on Thomas's show?
Yeah.
I was astounded by the open-heartedness I heard through all your voices. You know, Gerald and Kanika Neat you know, all the people that have come through. It was just so. An intimate and male moment, which is so nourishing for us whitey's boys. Because, you know, when we get male, we get like, let's drink stuff, let's blah. And it's very rarely to talk, you know, speak like this.
One of the situations that I tell my, you know, I talk to a lot of young people too, okay? Number one, to the young people, pull your pants up, that means you're easy in prison. Basically, get off the alcohol, the drugs, that's where they want you to be. They want you to destroy your mind to be able to just do what they tell you to do. And I believe in John, you know, I followed the words of John Trudell, and basically... We're in a time when spirits get eaten. Please protect your spirit.
And we, you know, we're not in a futuristic police state anymore. We are in a police state. Number one, always remember, they can do all they want to you, but in the end, you won. No problem. We don't own what we walk on. It owns us. And to my Cree elder, Gerald Whitehorse Standing, I respect you, my elder. I love you. You've taught me many things. I've taught you some. And to any of the warriors out there that talk with me through Buffalo Talk or whatever, only thing I can say is Tai Chi Hila, Mi Chante Kola, Lila Weshte. In other words, thank you. I mean, thank you. I love you. It's all good. I'm sorry, did I mess up something?
No, sorry, I had my mic muted. I said that was the beautiful, but nobody heard it. would you say that again really slowly for me?
Okay.
For everybody? Because that is so beautiful. I'd be not, you know, go on.
To everybody, now I'm going to do this for everybody, not just for Gerald this time. Okay? Okay, I'm going to do several things. Okay, here we go. Now, if Tracy is listening from the Mohawk, I wish to say, Tai Chi Hila Mi Chante Kola, Lila Washte Mi Winyan. It meant, thank you, my hard friend, my woman. To the others that are listening, Tai Chi Hila Mi Chante Kola, Lila Washte Mi Chinchi Mi Wishila. In other words, Tai Chi Hila, I love you. Mi Chante Kola, my heart friend. Chinchi, my son. Mi Wishila, my daughter, my girl. Whoever is listening is young, that are young.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much, T-Dog. That's gorgeous.
Now, I don't mean to get away from what my brother Chris is talking about. Please talk, my brother. I don't mean to get in your way.
No, not at all, T-Dog. No, thank you. You know, I really do respect my elders, T-Dog, and, you know, your fruits of wisdom are far more kind of ripened than what I kind of currently have to offer. So absolutely bless you, brother. I love you. By all means, please talk and talk and talk. You know, I've got a great bond. I've got a great connection with my own grandmother, my mom's mom. And I really love and respect old people, especially my grandparents. And, you know, I don't know if this is the way it works in Indian tribes, when children are being schooled, when they're being educated by their people, I mean a lot of the education is this done by the elders. That's something I remember looking at some time ago. That it's not necessarily, you know, the mom or the dad. A lot of quote unquote education occurs and happens from the older people in the tribe. It's like the children are around them a lot. They get a lot of their teachings and their foundation and their overall education from them in life. It begins with the elders. You know, that passing down to the children. I'm fascinated by that, and I always remember that when I'm around my elders, wherever I am in the world, that they've been here longer than I have. I've got more fruits of wisdom to offer myself and other young people, and it's very important to sit back and to really absorb this the best that they can. You know, I feel a lot of you know, younger people as myself, we do tend to have our ears closed a lot and think we know it all, but we don't. It's very important that we listen to those who have roamed this earth and have had so much more experience than we have, because there are some amazing, lovely nuggets that we can share, that they can share with us, and that we can learn from them as well. I don't know your thoughts and feelings on that too, Dog, but please, all means, brother, you know, speak about that if you wish.
Well, especially in the old day, I can only speak for myself.
Mm.
But if you look in the old day, our children, we considered them, they were with the mother from the time they, you know, some of them were from the time they were born to the time they were 12. They learned from the mother, okay? And then, like the young Ching Chi, as far as the son, it will go with the father to learn how to hunt and to learn the things that is necessary. Now, how we feel about the elders is this. The elder, we take the children to the elders back in them days because there was the wisdom, because they have already been where the child is going to go. They've already, like I said, they've already been where the child is going to walk. They've already seen, they've already heard, they already know. So within that wisdom, we take our children. The elders are held in high regard, or should be, because that's the wisdom of the nation. There's your wisdom. So there's many respect from the time of childhood to childhood. You know what I'm saying? Childhood to childhood, from the time you're born to the time you're old, childhood to childhood, you have under every leaf and rock, there is a teaching tool from Wahantanka, as far as the great mystery. So as we walk this earth, as a child, we're taught by each mother, father, grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, grandmother. And like what we do today, especially me, if I go to a powwow and there's elders from like the Chiricahua Nation or the Choctaw Nation, the Cree Nation or the Mohawk or whoever, Lakota, and I see these elders, I'll go up and shake this elder's hand and I go, "Are you okay, grandfather? What can I do for you?" Or, "Oh, hey, grandmother, how are you?" Whether they're from my nation or not. Because that's the wisdom of all of us. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, let me explain something with, say, myself. In my spirituality, in my culture, the culture that I live, you become an elder at 50 years of age. That's half your life. So when this one young warrior come up to me, and I just turned 50 and went hit a powwow, he come up and asked me. He said, "Hey, grandfather." I turned around to see who he was talking to. Because I didn't consider myself that old yet.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, you talking to me?" He goes, "Ha, grandfather, I need to speak with you." "Well, let's sit and you talk to me, grandson." That's a respect manner that has always been in my people. Mm-hmm. That is why when the Scottish, I'm talking about you, JP, when the Scottish came over, okay, to America, they wasn't treated well. They married into the
Indian people.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Because to one reason. There's a maybe more reasons, but the main reason is one thing. The Scottish had a clan system. Right, JP?
Hi, Kenny Ladd.
And the Indian people had a clan system. So the Scottish people and the Indian people, we understood each other from the clan system. And the Scottish people married into the Indian people. We loved and respected each other. The main purpose for a warrior, you look at today, okay, I'm going to say this, and this was the words of Leonard Peltier, from my understanding, the one that is still in prison in the United States. He's a political prisoner, anyway, from Wounded Knee. But this is the thing, and this is what I state to a lot of my young warriors. To be a warrior is not to hold a rifle and look stoic, okay? It is to go hang a screen door for an elder if he can't do it himself. Chop wood for the elder. Bring the wood in to the elder. Haul water to the elder if he needs to.
So, Two Dog, thank you very much for your great wisdom and for sharing the wisdom of the elders and the ancient wisdom. It was very good to hear some corroboration about those prophecies. Chris Noonan, Dave Corso, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For that little...
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. No problem. So, until next week, you can join me on Tuesday on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio at 12 noon PST, 8 p.m. UK time, and I'll see you next week. I don't know who's on. You'll find out. Bye.